is high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow.
I love this time of evening. Night is just falling. Some people are out jogging, some strolling. Some folks are just coming home late from work. Soon, some of them will be thinking about going to bed. But not us, not tonight. This is the night we stay up all night discovering the secrets of a city. And what better city to explore than one of the biggest, most exciting cities in the world, New York, New York. So, let's get started, because tonight we tackle the Big Apple at night. The heart of New York. And even though it's almost midnight, the heart is still beating with music, noise, crowds, and voices.
Clear sounds of all not music.
Including one particular voice I love to hear.
And I'll deliver you safely into the morning light.
Hello, this is Niecy Colone hanging out with you, and I've got a whole lot of dedications to send out to my fellow night owls. To all of you who are on the job all night, like me. I'm sending this next one out to the proud crowd that's up to some fishy business down on Fulton Street. The folks at the Fulton Fish Market tell me that every night about 1,000,000 pounds of fish pass through their hands. The rest of the world may be as quiet as the ocean floor, but down on Fulton Street, honey, they are slinging those fins and hustling those mussels, squids, sharks, and favorite, lobsters. Hey, you fellas can send one of those babies up here anytime. It may be the middle of the night, but I know that you people down at Mutual Cut Flowers are in full bloom. Buds and blossoms arriving all night long. But whether they're exotic or backyard variety, our friendly florists have to move fast to keep the flowers fresh. I've got a big bouquet of kisses going out to all you petal pushers down there. And I mean the whole bunch. I'm also whispering a nighttime hello to a special group of bakers on East 78th Street. You know who I mean. I'm talking to you fellas down at All Washer's Bakery, who are baking all night, kneading that dough so that we'll all be breaking fresh bread at breakfast. Can save a nice loaf for me. And don't think I forgot about all you moonlighters down at the Moondance Diner. This next tune goes out to all of you who are up working with me. Here we go, doing it with Into the Night.
Hi, LeVar. There's one open right here.
Thanks, Angie. Busy night, huh?
Tell me about it.
What'll it be?
I'll have a chicken salad sandwich on whole wheat and apple juice to drink. Thanks, Larry.
Okay.
This place is open all night, which comes in pretty handy when you get your lunch break at 3 a.m, like a lot of these people do. And I happen to know about another little night spot that gets cooking at this hour. It's in this book called Animal Cafe. Of course, the customers in here are a different breed entirely.
Animal Cafe. Story and pictures by John Stadler. Read by Martin Short. Maxwell owned a food shop. Sometimes business was good, and sometimes business was bad. But good or bad, it was all the same to Maxwell. For one morning each week, he found that the foods on his shelves had vanished overnight, and his cash register was stuffed full of money. Must be magic, he said. As Maxwell closed the shop one Friday evening, he said to his cat and dog, "You, Casey, you're such a lazy cat. You couldn't catch a mouse if it were sitting atop of your nose. And you, Sedgwick, some watchdog you are. A burglar with bells on his feet wouldn't keep you from snoring. Sleep, sleep, sleep. All you do is sleep." "Sweet dreams," Maxwell whispered as he left the shop. In a flash, Sedgwick and Casey were up and about. "All clear," Sedgwick called from the doorway. Casey was already in the kitchen, slicing, dicing, and spicing. "What are you cooking tonight?" Sedgwick asked. "I'm writing out the menus."
"It's an old family recipe. A tasty dish of chipped beef with a touch of cheddar cheese, some chopped liver, and lima beans, with some spinach, garlic, and prune juice tossed in for good measure."
"Fine. We better call it
Casey's Combustible Casserole," Sedgwick said. Then Sedgwick ran from place to place, decorating the shop. Casey heard the sound of approaching footsteps and chattering voices. Someone pounded on the door.
"Just in time," Casey cheered.
"Welcome back, friends,"
Sedgwick said as he opened the door to the first guests.
"Oh, delighted, I'm sure,"
answered Mrs. O'Hare.
"Wouldn't miss it for the world,"
added her husband. "Uh-oh," Casey whispered. "Here comes Cutlet. Last time he ate us out of house and home, and then he complained about the meal being pork and beans."
"Just be nice," Sedgwick said through a stiff smile. "Well, hello, Cutlet. We were just talking about you. Welcome."
"Welcome, Schmelkum,"
Cutlet snorted.
"Where's the food?"
Soon, many more guests arrived. Professor Toscanini of Huxley College was there, as well as Dr. Quack. Lady Dumont was not far behind, accompanied by Colonel Kangaroo. All the guests mingled happily, discussing this and that.
"Oh, no, thank you."
Sedgwick saw that it was growing late and hurried the guests to their tables.
"What do you think of it?"
Sedgwick asked after he served Casey's combustible casserole.
"Oh, I would say, undoubtedly,
replied Miss Goose.
"Oh, boy."
The guests ate lightly, except for Cutlet, who constantly cried out,
"Boy!
after dinner, Sedgwick and Casey started the entertainment. First, Casey juggled. And then he sang and danced. Finally, they sang some old favorites together.
Don't run free.
Bravo!
Roared Hubert the Bear.
Now we!
Cried Alicia the Gator.
Yikes! It's almost dawn. Maxwell will be back soon.
The guests quickly lined up to pay their bills.
Oh, no! Look!
Cutlet was lying on the floor, groaning.
He's eaten too much again. We'll have to roll him out.
It was an enormous struggle. Then Sedgwick and Casey rushed about to clean up the shop.
Hurry!
They yelled at each other, running in all directions at once.
Maxwell will be here any minute.
I'm pooped.
Sedgwick swept past him.
Keep at it. He's coming.
In a flash, they finished the kitchen, washed up the shop, and locked all the money in the cash register. Just as Maxwell reached the door, Sedgwick and Casey dashed to the back of the shop, falling on top of each other in a heap. Maxwell came in and turned on the lights. He opened the cash register and saw that it was full once again. Must be magic. Then he looked over at Sedgwick and Casey.
Silly animals, he said. All you ever do is sleep.
That they did.
Of course, Casey and Sedgwick aren't the only animals that come out at night. In fact, 60% of the Earth's creatures live their lives at night and sleep during the day. That includes owls, porcupines, raccoons, frogs, and of course, the night's most mysterious and fascinating creatures, the masters of night flight, bats.
Long before man walked this earth, bats filled the night skies. People used to think bats were birds, but they're not. Bats are mammals, like you and me. I'm Dr. Merlin Tuttle, and I've been studying bats for 20 years. We're about to enter Bracken Cave in Texas, where more than 20 million bats live in a world of darkness.
Well, here we are. We're down deep inside the cave. This is like a big tunnel, as long as a football stadium. The ceiling of this cave is over 3 stories high. And everywhere around me, everything is covered by millions and millions of bats. And this is a very unique environment, because the droppings from all those bats turn into ammonia. And that's why I've got this respirator on. I would die down here without protection from the ammonia fumes. But the bats, they're amazing animals. They live without any problem down here, despite all the ammonia. Let's go on now and have a look deeper in the cave. Because so many bats live in here, and their bodies are all giving off heat, it's extremely hot, sometimes more than 100 degrees. There are nearly 1,000 kinds of bats in the world, and they live almost everywhere. In old buildings, and chimneys, trees, and in the jungle, some even make tents from leaves. Most bats, like the free-tail bats in this cave, eat insects. Let's take a look at some bats close up. Here's a mother bat. She has fur just like dogs and cats and other animals, and it's very soft and velvety. She actually keeps very clean. It's spends a large part of each day grooming and cleaning herself. Let's take a look at her otherwise. Look at her big ears. Those big ears are used to help her navigate, to find her way home at night, and to help her catch insects. She uses a system where she sends out beeps of sound, and they bounce back from obstacles in front of her, or from little insects, and those big ears catch the sound. It's called echolocation. Bats are the only kind of mammal that flies. She has long, narrow wings that enable her to fly very fast at night. Her wings are just like a hand. This is her thumb. It has a little claw to help her climb around. And then she has four more fingers, just like we do. The end of her wing here can be used just like a hand. She can come flying up to an insect at night, curl these bones around, and grab an insect right in that little webbing in the end of the wing in order to get it to her mouth to eat. See there? Just like you use your finger. So in this way, just one bat can catch up to 500 or more tiny insects in a single hour. As you can see, bats really are not dangerous animals. In fact, they're among the world's most gentle animals. But you should never pick one up like I am doing, because any bat that you can catch is more likely than others to be sick. And any animal that's sick can be dangerous. Let's let her go now. We'll take a look at some babies. They're babies of several ages here. This is just a newborn baby. This one's only about a week old. Each mother free-tailed bat here produces one baby like this each year. But you know, these fellas are born a third as big as their mothers. He eats an awful lot, and within three more weeks, he'll look just about like her and be ready to fly away with her some night. He's a little worried right now, thinking that I might be a predator going to eat him. But he'll be just fine. We'll put him back safely. For young bats learning to fly, the floor of this cave is a very dangerous place. Any bat that lands on this floor and doesn't get airborne again within a few seconds will become a skeleton like this. There are literally billions of little flesh-eating insects crawling everywhere, just waiting to pounce on a hapless baby that doesn't make it from one side to the other.
Bats are creatures of the night. And every evening, between dusk and dawn, these bats wing their way across hundreds of miles looking for food. Tonight, this cloud of bats will consume 250,000 pounds of insects. That's the equivalent weight of 93 elephants. Bats, like you've just seen, could soon die out unless people everywhere learn to understand them and appreciate them. They're gentle and graceful. Bats are truly masters of night flight.
You know, one of the great things about staying up all night is picking up a fresh copy of the morning paper hot off the press. Daily News?
Oh, yeah, here you go.
Thanks. I always read the book reviews, but first, I check out the horoscope.
Let's see, horoscope. Where are the horoscopes? Ah, here we go. Let's see, Sagittarius, Capricorn,
Aquarius.
Three great books will soon come your way, but you don't have to take my word for it.
Hi, I'm Michael. Have you ever had nightmares that you're dying to get rid of? Well, the Orientals believed that there is a creature that will eat your bad dreams. He's in this book called The Dream Eater. This story's an oriental myth about a boy named Yukio. Yukio has terrible dreams at night. He dreams that there's a three-headed demon chasing him on a dragon, and just when he's about to eat him, he wakes up. Yukio goes down by the river. There he saves a weird creature's life. The creature is a baku. Then he finds out that the baku eats bad dreams. Just like the boy in the book, I had a bad dream. It's the funniest thing. After I read this book, it disappeared. So if you have a bad dream, I know you do sometimes, go to the library and pick up the Dream Eater.
Hi, I just read a wonderful poem that I'd like you to read. It's called The Moon by Robert Louis Stevenson. And the book is filled with just beautiful pictures. It's not a very hard book to read, and on each page, the moon glows. You can learn a lot about nighttime from this book. Did you know that bats come out at night? And dogs sometimes howl at the moon? Nighttime is really a good time to go fishing. The pictures are filled with colors. My favorite picture is when all the things that belong to the daytime go to sleep. I'm Robin, and I love to watch the moon and the stars at night. If you do too, go to your local bookstore and pick up The Moon.
Hi, kids. My name is Jonathan Rose. Did you know that while you're asleep at night, more than half of New York City is up just to make sure you have your breakfast, lunch, and dinner? They work in night markets, and that's the name of this book. Night markets are the places in the city where all the food is delivered. There are bakeries that are open all night for your pastries, muffins, bread, and that special roll that you want in the morning when you get up. There's the Fulton Fish Market, where you can find fish from all over the world. This is a nonfiction book, and the pictures are real photographs. You can actually go to these places if you can stay up that late. If you're interested in nighttime activities and want to find out about New York's nightlife, this is a great book to read. I'm sure it's at a library near you.
Good morning, all you early risers here at WBLS in New York. It's almost night, and that about wraps it up for me. This is Niecy Cologne reminding you that I'll check you out again tomorrow. Hope you'll do the same. But in the meantime, I'll leave you with this tune to take you into your new day.
Through the night, through the night, we gotta keep on going, working steady. Through the night, through the night, through the night, while most people sleep, we get things ready. Through the night, we work it till the day breaks.
Sun's rising, and it's getting to the point when it's so late, it's early. People on the day shift are shifting into gear, and the people on the night shift are heading home, heading to bed. You know what? I think they have the right idea. So next time your head hits the pillow, remember, when you're calling it a night, someone else is calling it a day. See you next time.
Good morning. 6 a.m. on another sunny day. Time to get out of bed and shake those Z's. Today's Reading Rainbow books are Animal Cafe by John Stadler, published by Bradbury Press. The Dream Eater by Christian Garrison, illustrated by Diane Good, published by Bradbury Press. The Moon by Robert Louis Stevenson, illustrated by Denise Saldudi, published by Harper and Row. Night Markets, Bringing Food to a City, by Joshua Horwitz, published by Thomas Y. Kroll.